All right, Tabosai, good morning. Let's begin our share this morning. Our share this month is dedicated by Said and Sima Haken, in honor of the month of Elul, the Yamim Noraim, and Aliyah for Said's father's neshama, and Halavai Ksir v'chassima Torah for all of Klal Yisrael. So today's daf is Samech Gimel 63. We are picking up Samech Beis on Beis, the last word online, Gufa. Gufa. So we'll say now top of Samech Gimel. Amar Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami said the following: Zivach v'kitar v'nisach behelam echad. So it's an interesting case Rabbi Ami is bringing down. What happens if a person went ahead and did all of these avodas, meaning he did multiple things for avodas zara, but he did them all behelam echad? Helam echad means he did, for example, he slaughtered the sacrifice, he offered up the sacrifice, he did a wine libation, and he did all of this again in one helam, in one period, in one, what we'll call one lapse. So what's talach? Now remember again, when we say helam echad, so helam echad, for example, would mean, let's say a person, the simplest example of this would be, let's say a person didn't realize that it was usher to worship avodah zarah. They didn't come that day to shir, so they didn't learn that halacha. So what happens? They did all of these things for avodah zarah in one helam, in one lapse. So the shayla is, what's the nature of their obligation? So Rabbi Ami says, "Eino chayv ala achos," that any time that you perform multiple services of avodah zarah, but in one lapse of awareness, you're only going to be chayiv once. Amar Abaye, my time Rabbi Ami. What's Rabbi Ami's logic? Amar Kra, because the pasuk says lo sabdein. Because the pasuk gives a general statement of do not worship the avodah zarah. What do we see from there? Hakasav asa'an kulon avodah achos. So both say the way Rabbi Ami understands, excuse me, the way Abaye understands Rabbi Ami is that lo sabdein is a general statement. That general statement covers all forms of avodah zarah to teach you that even if you engage in multiple forms of worship in one lapse of awareness, you are only going to be chayiv once. To which the Gemara says, "Yarma Abaye Hachi," but does Abaye really hold like this? Varma Abaye. Abaye said, "Shalosh shishtacha va'os ba'avodos kochavim lama." People say the Torah goes out of its way to discuss the prohibition of bowing down to idolatry three different times. Why is there a need to articulate this prohibition three times? To which the Gemara says, "Achos l'kedarko." Want to teach you that it is usher to bow down to an idol if this is the normal form of worship. Achos shalo kedarko. Rabbosai want us to teach you that even if a particular idol is not worshipped with prostration, but you prostrate, you bow down to the idol, that halacha lamaisi you are chayv. Rabbosai, this is because we learned at the beginning of this parak that ishtachava, prostration, is one of the forms of worship that one will always be chayv for, even if that's not the normal way in which the item is worshipped. And one of us say ultimately is to tell you that if you engage in multiple forms of worship for the same idol, that you are chayiv for each and every act of worship. So we'll say, so you see over here, Abaye is just saying before that Rabbi Ami holds that if you engage in multiple forms of worship in one lapse of awareness, you're only chayiv once. Yet you see Abaye himself holds that what? That if you engage in multiple forms of worship within one lapse of awareness, you are chayiv l'chalik yatzas, you are chayiv for each and every act of worship. To which the Gemara says, not a contradiction. The Dvar of Rabbi Ami Kamar, Velei lo svirale. Abaye was explaining the position of Rabbi Ami, but Abaye himself does not subscribe to this position. So I will say, what comes out over here is a fascinating machlokas. If a person goes ahead and engages in multiple forms of worship to the same idol within one lapse of awareness. So within one lapse of awareness, a person bows down to the idol, slaughters to the idol, sacrifices to the idol, pours wine libation, all the one lapse of awareness. How many times are you chayiv? Rabbi Ami says once. As many acts that happen within the same hours, Rabbi Ami essentially says what I was saying. The fundamental machlokes is the liability for the lapse, or is the liability for the act? Rabbi Ami says liability is for the lapse. Therefore, whatever happens within that same lapse of awareness, you're only going to be chayiv once. Abaye says no, you're going to be chayiv for each and every prohibited act performed. Gufa. Amar Abaye, so now we're going to go back and examine what Abaye just said before. So Amar Abaye, Shalosh Shishtacha Ba'os Ba'avodos Kochavim Lama. So Abaye said before, why does the Torah highlight Why does the Torah mention the prohibition to bow down to idols three times? Why three times? So, achos likedarka. So, I'll say, I wanted to teach you that if the idol is normally worshipped with prostration, so that halacha lemaaseh it's aser to do. So that's cool. So that's called kedarka. Va'achos shelo kedarka. Right. So shelo kedarka means what? Shelo kedarka means that even if this idol is not normally worshipped with hishtachava, prostration is one of those objective forms of worship for which one will be chayiv, even if it's not the normative mode of worship for this particular idol. Va'achos lechalik. And one of us also ultimately comes to teach you that you are chayiv for each and every act of worship, even if they all occur within one lapse of awareness. To which the Gemara says, so I don't understand the idea that it is prohibited to worship an idol through bowing down. If that's the normal form of worship, we learn that from different pasuk. Me'echa ya'abdu agoyim ha'ela nafka. We go ahead and learn that from the pasuk of Echa ya'abdu agoyim ha'ela. Then how is it ultimately again that the Gentiles or that the idolaters worship the idolatry? Elo says, I don't need one of the hishtachavos to teach me kedarka. Elo rather says the Gemara, here's how we learn. Achos kedarka v'shelo kedarka. Remember, we're trying to figure out why does the pasuk mention the prohibition to bow down to idols three times? Just say it once and I can't bow down. So rather, one of them is to teach me kedarka u'shelo kedarka. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, it's almost right across to the right, but right across like a line or two down. Lekidarka shelo kidarka, shishtachavo hi lahach avolus chachav mekidarka, v'shelo kidarka, kigon shedarka la'avol derech kovid, v'lo b'shtachavo. So what does it mean that kidarka v'shelo kidarka? What that means is you have a particular idol where the way you worship it is with respectful forms of behavior, yet bowing down happens not to be one of those forms of behavior. So we'll say, so once an idol is worshipped in what we'll call objectively respectable forms of behavior, so therefore even though bowing down is not one of them, it's what we call kedarka or shelo kedarka. It's kedarka because it's a respectful form of worship, but it's shelo kedarka because this particular idol is not worshipped this way. And ultimately, one of the ishtachavos comes out ultimately to tell you that you're chayiv for each individual act of worship. So we'll say, all the Gemara was just doing over is expounding on the Shita of Abaye. But still, where we're left in all of this is still the same achlokas, Rabbi Ami and Abaye. If you go ahead and you engage in multiple forms of worship to a particular idol in one lapse of awareness, are you chayiv for each and every act, or do we say that as many acts as occur in one lapse, you are only chayiv once? Rabbi Ami says, you're only going to be chayiv once. Abaye says, you're chayiv for each and every act. Gemara goes weiter. Hamakablu alav beloka, ha'omer lo eili ata. So let's remember again, the Mishnah said that if somebody accepts the idol upon himself as a god, or if somebody says to the idol, you are my god, they are responsible for that. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravua, Amrav, Kevan Shamrlo Eli Ata, Chayiv. Once one says to an idol, it's actually very dramatic. Once one says to an idol, you are my God. To the idol, you are my God, he is ultimately Chayiv for that. Chayiv, once he says it, he's Chayiv. So, versus Lamai, Chayiv for what? Ilikta Lamastisis. So, if we're talking about a case of Mazid, where a person intentionally says to the idol, you are my God, then they're chayiv misa. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah already told me that. Because it was, why they chayiv misa? Why? It's avodah zarah, right? Because again, the act of pledging your allegiance ultimately again to the idol and saying, you are my God, is an act of idolatry. And for chayiv misa, as the Gemara says, elo lekarbon. Rather, what is it talking about? So we're talking about a case over here where a person was b'shogeg, right? So we'll say a person says to the idol, you are my God, b'shogeg. Now we'll say, how do you say to the idol, you're my God, b'shogeg? So the simplest idea is, either a person doesn't know that idolatry is aser, or a person thinks that you're permitted to have an idol as a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever it is, his intention is not to engage in idolatry, but yet he ends up engaging in an act of idolatry. So it seems to be again that the Gemara teacher of Nachman Sin Rabbi Baravua, that you'd be chayiv a karbon, you'd be chayiv a shogeg for this. So the Gemara says, "Vafil Rabbanon." Now, would this be true even according to the Rabbanon? Now, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, "Vafil Rabbanon." It's like right across from Tosos Ki Ka'amar. Vafil Rabbanon Bitmiya. The pligi rabbanon v'krisos b'megadef alei drabi akiva dar megadef eno mevi karbon deba inon ma'isa. Now we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara is going to discuss over here the sheet of the rabbanon. So the Gemara is asking over here, if a person goes and accidentally says to an idol, Eli ata, you are my God, the Gemara suggests that you're chayav a karbon. So the Gemara says, would that even be true according to the sheet of the rabbanon? What did the rabbanon say? Vatanya, eno chayav Ella adavar sheyesh b'maisa. Yet the Braisa says that also when it comes to idolatry, you're only chayiv if you do a maisa, an action. For example, kigon zibuach v'kitor v'nisuch v'shtachava. Shabbos say you're only chayiv for idolatry if what? If you do a maisa of idolatry, as opposed to what? As opposed to a dibor. To say eliata, certainly not good. No one's going to encourage it. But lamaisa, at the end of the day, that's not a maisa. It's a dibor. Reish Lakish said, who is the opinion who includes Yishtachava, a prostration in this list? Nebosai, if you notice again, all of the other forms represent worship with some item external to the self. Either I'm slaughtering an animal, I'm sprinkling the blood, I'm offering it up, I'm pouring wine. Yishtachava is unique because Yishtachava is just with my person, just with my physicality. There's no cheftza. There's no object. So who is the opinion that says Ishtachaba? Rabbi Akiva, he, Da'amar lo ba'inan maisa. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Osa, is of the opinion who says that what? You don't require a maisa for Avodah Zarah. That if you worship Avodah Zarah, even with a non-maisa, that's interesting, that they're considering Ishtachaba not a maisa. Rabbi Osa, why are they considering not a maisa? Because we just said before. Because the paradigmatic case of a maisa is what? Where you're worshipping Avodah Zarah with a cheftza, with an object. In Ishtachava, okay, you could tell you're worshipping with your person, with yourself. That's not what I mean. A maisa, the classic case of a maisa, is where I'm using some object to worship the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara is looking at Ishtachava as a non-maisa form of worship. Who is the opinion who holds that Shechaya for Avodah Zarah, even with a non-maisa form of worship? Shabi Akiva. Now we can infer from this that since Rabbi Akiva holds that you don't need a ma'isa to be chayiv for Avodah Zarah, that the Rabbanan do hold that you require a ma'isa for Avodah Zarah. To which the Gemara says, Kik Sobosai. So now going back again, we just wanted to say before that when a person says Keliat or Eliata, not Keliata, Ke'eliata, and first says the Avodah Zarah, you're my God, that they're going to be chayiv. The Rabbanan say that is an act of idol worship, of idolatry, without a ma'isa. And yet we're going to say that you're going to be chayiv a karbon. Whose opinion does that reflect? It can't be the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan hold that's what Rabbanan say, that you require a ma'isa. Rather, it must be Rabbi Akiva, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Ki kamar Rav Nam Rabbi Akiva kamar. When Rav made this statement, he was making it in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. So to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva pshita. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it's obvious that if a person says Eliata, that you're going to be chayiv. Because ultimately, again, Rabbi Akiva holds that you're chayiv arvo dezar, even without a ma'isa. Hainu megadev, it's no different than one who blasphemes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There also, there's no ma'isa, yet, again, Rabbi Akiva holds that you're chayiv. So which Gemara says, Mahad, the same, what would you have said? Ad kan lo mechayiv Rabbi Akiva karban, ela b'megadev, v'chsiv be'kareis. So we'll say it's different. I would have thought Rabbi Akiva only holds, in the case of blasphemy, that you're going to be chayiv ultimately again a karban if you did it accidentally. Why? Because the Torah explicitly says that if you do it intentionally, you're chayiv kareis. Aval hocha. But I will say in this case, about where a person says, Avodah Zarah Iliata, delo ksiv be kareis. Rabbi said there is no explicit discussion or there is no explicit statement about kareis. Ema lo. I might have thought that a person shouldn't even be chayiv according to Rabbi Akiva. Kamash malo no. Kamash Rabbi said that according to Rabbi Akiva, if a person says to Avodah Zarah Iliata, even though what? There is no maisa associated here. Nevertheless, you are going to be chayiv. Where does Rabbi Akiva get this from? The iskush iskush. Because Rabbi said the different forms of idol worship are all associated or compared to one another. What does the pasuk say? Dichsiv, vayishtachulo, vayizbuchulo, vayomru. Because Rabbi said the pasuk over the Gemara quotes from Shmos. It says ultimately again, they bowed down to the ego, they sacrificed to it, vayomru, and they said to it. So what do you see from here? You see from here that we equate all of these different forms of worship. Prostration, sacrificing, and speaking. Therefore, again, Rabbi Kiva will say that Lamaisa, the act of saying Eliata, the act of saying you are my God, is in and of itself a bona fide form of worship for which one will be chayiv. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. It's supposed to say that the Gemara quoted by the Chet Ego, the Gemara brings another limud. Il moli vav shebehalucha, Very interesting. In that pasuk that we just quoted by the Egel, so the way the pasuk reads is Vayomru, they said, meaning the Erev Rav said, Elu Eila Elohecha Yisrael, these are your gods, Yisrael, Asher Ha'elucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So this is your god, Asher Ha'elucha. Now, what's Ha'elucha with the Vav is plural. What it means is, this is your god who, plural, brought you up from Egypt. So what's that? Very interesting. Rabbi Yochanan says, it's a good thing that Klal Yisrael said that this is the God who brought you up, plural, which means our trouble sign that they weren't just worshiping the eagle itself, but rather what? They were still worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. That they were saying the eagle did not act unilaterally, but the eagle worked in concert with God. So Rabbi Yochanan says, thank God Klal Yisrael at least included HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the eagle, because had they just cut out God and just worshipped the eagle itself, Kadosh Baruch Hu would have destroyed them. To which the Gemara says, Ketanoi. In fact, this is a machlokes tanoim. So the Gemara says, Achirim omrim, the Achirim say, O molivav shebeluchan is chayivu rashem shayisar kaliya. So most of the Achirim say, anything like that previous drasha, were not for the vav and ha'alucha, which makes the word plural, who brought you up plural, meaning that Klal Yisrael included HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with the eagle as the divine forces who brought Klal Yisrael up from Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael would have been destroyed, meaning at least if they worshipped Avodah Zarah, at least they didn't totally forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's listen to this. Rashbi yet says, it's even worse. In other words, that whoever goes ahead and includes HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with another god is uprooted from the world. Shene Emar, Bilti LaHashem Levado. Ultimately, again, you could only worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's actually very interesting. So the first thing Rabbi Yochanan says, that it was a saving grace for Klal Yisrael, that they didn't just worship the eagle, but rather again at what? That they included HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Rashbi says no. It's worse to include God with an Avodah Zarah than what Rabbi Osai, than to just worship Avodah Zarah by itself. So what's the machlokis over here? So it seems to be, the fundamental machlokis is, which is worse, idolatry or polytheism? Right? So Rabbi Yochanan will say, pure idolatry is worse, at least polytheism, at least if you have God in the picture, there's a chance he'll come back. Rashbi says no. Polytheism is more theologically destructive. In other words, if you're going to worship Avodah Zarah, at least believe in one Godhead. Because if you believe in one God, the chances are that what? You'll come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moment you begin ultimately, again, in taking a theologically or polytheistic approach to divinity, is the moment you get yourself in all kinds of trouble. Let's say, in a Hashkafic level. In a Hashkafic level, also what the Gemara is saying is the following. You got to choose a team. You gotta choose a team. Meaning, so Rabbi Rashbi will say, listen, you know, you gotta pledge your allegiance to someone. If you're pledging, you know, let's say, if you pledge your allegiance to everyone, you pledge your allegiance to no one. So if you're gonna be worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this and that, you don't have a team. At least again, if you're gonna worship idolatry, so choose a team, meaning, let's say, in life, commit yourself to something, even if it's the wrong thing. Commit yourself to something, because if you're a non-committal person, if at the end of the day you're nishtahen nishtaher, if at the end of the day you're pariv, then people like that don't advance anywhere in life. If you're going to pledge your allegiance, even if you pledge it to the wrong thing, be a passionate, committed person. When you have that midah, you'll find a way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Incredible ideas. The Gemara goes right there. She'ibu elokos harbeh. So Rashbi understands over here that Asher ha'alucha means, the plural means, that in reality they desired many gods. That although they worshipped the eagle, they really desired a polytheistic approach to divine worship. We'll discuss why that is in just a little bit. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah said that if somebody hugs the idol, kisses the idol, honors the idol, right, or goes ahead and does other forms of worship, Rav Osai. The Gemara says it's aser, but one is not chay misa. Ki aser Rav Dimi Amar Rav Elazar Akulam Loke Chutz Min Anoder Bishma VaKayim Bishma. So Rav Osai, Rav Dimi comes along and says, anytime you worship an idol and you give it honor, you will get malchus for that act of avodah zara, with two exceptions. If a person takes a neder in the name of the idol, or a person swears in the name of the idol, we'll say if you do those things, you don't get malchus. We'll say, why is it that if you swear in the name of the idol, you take a vow in the name of the idol, that you don't get malchus? Because Rabbi says swearing in the name of the idol or making a neder in the name of the idol is prohibited, but what? There's no maisa. It's just a dibur. It's just speech. There's no action. Therefore, you're not chayiv. Hani nami lav shebichlalosu ve'in lokin alav shebichlalos. Yet Rabbi says all of these other forms of worship are only usher. Because Rabbi says what we call alav shebichlalos. Rabbi says lav shebichlalos means that sometimes we learn that things are prohibited, not because they are specifically stated, but rather because they are learned out from a general prohibition. The general rule is, anything that is learned out from what we call lav shebechlalos, a general prohibition, you don't get malchus on. So the Gemara says, this sanya we learned, minayin la'ochal min ha-behema kodem sheteitzi nafsha, shublo sasa. How do we know that if you eat from an animal before it fully dies, how do you know that you're chayiv on a lo saseh? Because the pasuk says, tamalomar lo sochlu al hadam. Because the pasuk says, you shall not eat literally on the blood. Which Rabbi said, the Gemara is darshin to mean that while the animal still has any life in it, you can't eat from the animal. Davar acher. But another possibility is, lo sochlu al hadam. What does it mean when it says, lo sochlu al hadam? Lo sochlu basar va'adayin dam b'mizrak. Both say, you can't eat of sacrificial meat while the blood is still, again, the mizrak literally means the klisharis. So while the blood is still in the sacrificial bowl, you can't eat from the meat. Rabbi Dosa and Dosa says, minayin shal mevarin ala rugibis. It was actually very interesting. How do we know that we don't have a sudas havra on those killed by Beis Hamikdash? So what does this mean? The halacha is, under normal circumstances, that when someone loses a loved one and they're sitting shiva for that person, there's what's called the sudas havra. Sudas havra is the first meal the avelim eat after the burial. That meal is provided for by the community. How do we know that if someone has a relative who was executed by Beis Din, there is no sudas havra, right? Which we'll say goes back to what we learned before. Remember, not only is there no sudas havra, why? What else? Remember, no shiva. We learned about this before. So there's no shiva, no sudas havra. How do we know that? So the Gemara says, Tamulomar lo sochlu al adam. Literally, again, do not have the meal for the one whose blood was spilled by Beis Din, or the one who spilled blood. So the Gemara goes, Rabbi Kiva Omer, how do we know that on the day that a Sanhedrin executes someone, they are not permitted to eat anything, they have to fast? That entire day, they may not eat ultimately again, what? When they have to spill blood. From where do we see the warning against the Ben Sorer, Mora Tamalomar, lo sochlu al adam? Do not eat in a way which will cause the spilling of your blood. Which I will say for a Ben Sora Mora means, you know, don't eat. Remember, again, he's put to death because he steals money to go ahead and buy meat and drink, buy meat and wine. So don't eat in a way that will cause your blood to be spilled. A warning against Ben Sora Mora. For all of these drushes, right, for all of these things, if one violated any of these things, they don't get malchus. Why not, Rabbi Sai? Because all of these things, all of these drushes are correct. They're all correct. But here's the chat. They're all learned out from a general statement. And Rabbi Sai, the halacha is that whenever you are learned out from a general statement, it's prohibited, but you can't get malchus. So to the Gemara is applying that back over here, that in these cases by avodah zarah, it's also learned that by lav shebechlalus, therefore again it shouldn't get malchus, to which the Gemara says, Eloki asra b'amrabilazar, akulan ein aloke. So in all of these cases of worship of an idol, you will not get malchus, chutz min anodya b'shmo v'avakayim b'shmo, with the exception of one who swears in the name of the idol, or one who takes an oath in the name, or one who vows in the name of the idol. Maishna ahanach delo laki. So we'll say, why is it in all of these other cases that you won't get malchus? Tahavile lav shebechlalos, because we'll say it's a general prohibition. Hani nami lav shemamaisen inu. But swearing in the name of the idol, vowing in the name of the idol, we'll say is what? Is a lav shein b'maisa, is a prohibition which has no action associated with it. It's only dibor, to which the Gemara says, who could have Yehuda da'amar, lav shein b'maisa lokin love. Oh, the Mishnah reflects the Vira Bosai, who of Rabbi Huda, who holds that one gets malchus even for a lav shein b'maisa. Disanya, because we learned, lo sosiru mimenu ad boker, says, by Karban Pesach, you can't leave over anything until the morning. Litein asei, Acher lo sase. Was that he comes to teach you that if you leave over Karban Pesach meat until the morning, not only are you chayiv on a lo sase, but you're chayiv an ase as well. Amad beiz lomar, shein lokin alav divei Rabbi Yehuda. Ultimately, to teach you that you will not get malchus for this. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, lo min ha-shem huzeh, eva mishum da-havile lav shein ba-maisa. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, there's a different piece in Rabbi Osai. Why, if you leave over meat, you don't get malchus? Why not? Because it's a lav shein ba-maisa, it's a prohibition. Remember, it's a shev yaltasa. Leaving over is not an active act, but rather, again, it's the absence of dynamic activity. To which the Gemara says, v'cholav shein ba-maisa ein lokin alav. And the way we pass can ultimately, again, is that any act for which, or I should say, any prohibition for which there is no action, you won't get malchus on it. Mechlad Rabbi Yehuda sofer lokin alav. Also, we can infer from this that what? That Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that you will be lokin for lav shein ba-maisa. Therefore, both say it appears that the Mishnah is reflecting the view of Rabbi Yehuda. That's why if a person goes ahead and swears in the name of the idol, or vows in the name of the idol, they will get malchus, which reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you get malchus for lav shein ba-maisa. Okay, good. So, if a person goes ahead and vows in the name of the idol, swears in the name of the idol, they are in violation of a lo sase. To which the Gemara says, from where do we know that if one vows in the name of the idol, or one swears in the name of the idol, that it's aser. Tisanya, we learn v'shem Elohim achirim lo saskiru. The pasuk says, "You shall not mention the name of other gods." Shelo, so we'll say, what does it mean? You shouldn't mention the name of other gods. Shelo yomar adam lechavero. A person shouldn't say to his friend, "Shamor li b'tzad avodas kochav and kores." We'll say, person shouldn't say, you know what, talking to his friend, why don't you meet me by the corner of that Avodah Zarah? So meaning a person shouldn't use, this was saying, a person shouldn't use Avodah Zarah as like a landmark. So that's the idea that a person shouldn't utilize the name of the Avodah Zarah at all. So the Gemara says, lo yishma apicha, the Avodah Zarah should not be heard through your mouth. Shelo yidar b'shmo, v'lo yikayim b'shmo. You shouldn't vow in the name of the idol. You shouldn't swear in the name of the idol. Not only that, but you should not cause others to swear in the name of the idol or to vow in the name of the idol. Another possibility is, what does it mean that the name of the idol should not be heard through your mouth? This tells me the biblical prohibition. Mesis, we'll say, someone who entices others to worship Avodah Zarah. Madiach is the same thing, but instead of on an individual level, Madiach is someone who gets an entire city to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Mesis, Madiach, Mesis, Behejik Sibbe. We'll say, the prohibition against inciting others or inciting a city to worship Avodah Zarah is written explicitly, V'chol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiro, El Ashar L'Madiach, El Ashar L'Madiach, what it means is, it's the prohibition ultimately, again, for someone who causes an entire city to worship Avodah Zarah, and someone who causes others to vow in the name of the idol or to swear in the name of the idol. So this supports the view, this supports the position of the father of Shmuel. Domar Avodah Shmuel. This is actually an amazing statement. A person should not have shutfas. A person should not have a business partnership with an oved kochavim. Why? With an idolater. Why? Shema yischayiv lo shvua. Because it will say sometimes again, business partners have falling out. Right? Sometimes business partners have disagreements. Now, what happens when business partners have disagreements? So again, the Obed Kochavim is going to want to swear that he hasn't cheated me, that he's honest. Whose name is he going to swear in? He's going to swear in the name of his idol, of his Avodah Zarah. Shamei Yischayiv L'Shvua. Maybe we're going to have a business dispute. my idolatrous partner is going to want to swear that what? That at the end of the day, he did not cheat me. He's going to swear in the name of his idolatry. And the Torah says, ultimately, again, you should not go ahead and cause the name of the idol to be heard through you. So we'll say it's actually amazing. So the Gemara is saying, remember again, the logic over here is that even a Ben Noach, remember again, a Gentile is also prohibited from worshipping idolatry. So not only can I not worship myself, but the Gemara is saying, I can't cause idols to be worshipped through my actions as well. Therefore, the Gemara, or say, Avod Shmuel cautions us against engaging in business dealings with idolaters, lest there be some type of business dispute, and the idolater use an oath to his idol to resolve the business dispute. I, the Jew, would ultimately, again, be somewhat liable for that, because I have caused the name of his idol to be mentioned or to be affirmed because of our business dispute. Ki asa Ula, let's listen to this case. Ki asa Ula bas bekal nevo. So we'll say one time Ula was traveling, and he stayed over in the city of Kal Nevo. That's the name of the place. So the Gemara says, Rashi says, it's the first short line on the top. Bas bekal nevo. We'll say, now the name of the city was Kal Nevo, but it was called Kal Nevo. Why? Because that was the name of an idolatry. So the city was named after the idolatry. So what happens? So Rava said to Ula, Ula, where did you stay? So Ula said, I stayed in Kal Nevo. So Amalei, Vaksiv, Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Saskiru. Ula, how can you say that? How can you say the name of the city if the name of the city is the idolatry? And the Torah says you cannot cause the name of idolatry to be mentioned. Amar lei. So Ula responded, Hachi on Rabbi Yochanan. Kolavodas kochavim. We'll say first white line. Kolavodas kochavim aksuba b'Torah. Motu lahaskir shma. It will say, whenever the name of idolatry is mentioned in the Torah, you're permitted to say it. So we'll say, now when we say Torah means Tanakh, if the name of the idolatry appears in writing, so then you're permitted to say the name of the idolatry. Where does the Torah speak about Kol Nevo? Dechsev, Kara Baal, Karas Nevo. Literally again, Baal squats down. Karas Nevo, Nevo splashes. They will say, we're going to see. So again, it's a contraction. Baal Nevo. Right, so Kal Nevo. So the Gemara says, okay, so Ula says this is a mention ultimately again of the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Ve'ilo k'siva lo, is that true that if the Avodah Zarah is not written in Tanakh, that you cannot mention the name? Masiv, the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Masharsha. Masharsha raises a kash, we'll say second wide line, Ra'achos meruba kishalosh. So we'll say, listen to this case. Without getting into the technicalities of it, the halacha is the following. If a man experiences an emission, this is a non-seminal emission, he becomes a zav. The Rebbe said the halacha is if he has three emissions, he becomes a zav gadol, and he has to observe 7 clean days. And the normal circumstances, the halacha is that those three emissions have to occur on 3 separate distinct occasions. What happens if the man has one prolonged emission? So that's the case of a ra achos. He sees one prolonged emission, meruba kishalosh, that is as long as 3 emissions. What does it mean as long as 3 emissions? Shehi kimegidyon lishilo, like the amount of time it takes to travel to Gideon to Shiloh. Now, both say Gideon, as we're about to see, is the name of a place that was named for Avodah Zarah. Now, both say the amount of time it takes to walk from Gideon to Shiloh is the amount of time shein shnei tevilos u'shnei sipugin. It was that's the amount of time it would take to go to the mikvah twice and to dry off twice. Say if a person has one emission that spans this amount of time, harei zeh zav gomer. It was that such a person is considered to be a complete zav, meaning zav gomer is like a zav gadol, and would have to observe shivanikiyah. Now, both say, now why is the Gemara bringing this up over here? Because Gideon, right, was the name of a place that was named for idolatry. Yet we're saying the name of the place, even though what Rabbi say, it does not appear that this place is written in Tanakh. So from here you see that you could say the name of idolatry, even if what? Even if it's not written in Tanakh. To which the Gemara says, Amar Abina, no, God, Nami Michtav Ksiv. It's not true. Gideon, Rabbi say, which is named for the idolatry of God, is also written in the Tanakh, the Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk from Yeshaya, the Pasuk says, Ha'orchim legad shulchan. those who go ahead and set the table for God. So you see over here, Rabbi said that Gideon, the name place of Gideon, which was named for the idol God, but that is written in Tanakh, therefore you could say the name. Amr Rav Nachman, Rabbi says, amazing. Kolet Zeinus Asira, Rabbi says, a very important yisod. All Leitzanus is Aser. Rabbi said, you know that Leitzanus is one of the greatest nisyonos of our dar. Right, it's one of the greatest, because it used to be that if a person wanted to be a letz, mamish, you had to think about it, because you had to formulate what you want to say. Now, with digital media, with WhatsApp, with Facebook, with anything, you could be a moronic letz without too much effort, right? Because you could just say something stupid, or just do something, and you don't require... It used to be, mamish, you had to put thought into being a letz. Today, you could just be a letz. So Rav Nachman says, Leitzanus is aser. We'll say it is aser to be a let. It is aser to do silly things, nonsensical things, things that are just wastes of time. With one exception, chutz meleitzanus davodas kochavim d'shaya. Rebbe said, you are permitted to engage in leitzanus when it comes to avodah zarah. Rebbe said, now what's the logic there? You know, normally Rebbe say, if something is a bad midah. Something is a bad midah. Generally, you can't use it. For example, technically speaking, could one go ahead and find a statement to say, you know, gezel akum is mutter, right? You know, there's a sheet like that in the Gemara that theft from an idolater, theft from a Gentile might not be biblically prohibited. But I'm saying, you know, that if somebody says, I'm honest in my business dealings with Jews, but I'm just not honest with non-Jews. So I say, you know, I would strongly advise you, don't do business, even if you're a Jew, with that individual. Because when a person is dishonest, a person is dishonest. That's just the general. So generally we say, you know, I only speak Lashon about Rishayim. So I'll say, again, that guy's a Messiah for Lashon. Generally, we don't believe in this, what we call like this midos, or this religious dichotomy. If you're going to have proper midos, you have to have proper midos across the way. So I would have thought that if Leitzanus is us, or across the board, Rav Nachman says, no, Leitzanus is mutter by avodah zarah. But you understand what this reflects. This reflects ultimately, again, a society in which there's a strong draw towards avodah zarah. So Rav Nachman is saying is sometimes the only way to break that connection to avodah zarah is to disparage it. By disparaging avodah zarah, what that does is hopefully it lessens the temptation ultimately again to worship. So leitzanus is usher in every single area of life except avodah zarah. The Gemara is going to quote a series of psukim. The bottom line we're going to see, Rabbo saying, is that each of these psukim is darshaned in a way that makes some type of, for lack of a better term, like bathroom humor about avodah zarah, right? Some type of like link between excrement and avodah zarah. The idea being that it's disparaging the avodah zarah, so as to show people, like, what are you doing? Well, this stuff is not real. This stuff is not divine. This stuff ultimately, again, has absolutely no kedusha to it. The Gemara says, "Dichsev karabal karas nevo." So it says, we just said before, this was the kol nevo connection. Literally, Baal squats down, Nivo splashes. So we'll say, again, these are forms of idolatry. And again, you can see the reference over here to defecation. Karsu karo yachtov lo yachlu malat masa. So we'll say, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Yeshaya. Karsu karo yachtov lo yachlu malat masa. Ksiv dibru le'aglos. Here, the Pasuk over here is quoting from Hosea. Dibru, it's the middle of the Pasuk. Dibru La'agalos Beis Oven, literally again, spoke to the calves of Beis Oven. Yagoru Shechan Shomron, right? The residents of Shomron were fearful. Ki aval alav amo. Kum kamarav alav yagilu al kavodo ki galamena. Both saying, now this passage is actually making reference to the calves of Malchus Yisrael. Remember again, when Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehud was split, one of the first things that Yeravam ben Nevat did was he established golden calves in Malchus Yisrael. The reason he did that was why? Because remember, he was fearful. We learned this in our Navishir. He was fearful that if Klal Yisrael would travel to Malchus Yehud, to Yerushalayim, for Aliyah L'Regel, what would happen? They would reunify under the Davidic monarchy. So the first order of business he does is he tells his constituents, you do not need to travel to Malchus Yehuda, to the Beis HaMikdash, to worship God, to worship the calves right here. So the Gemara says, Al tikri kavodo, do not go ahead and read it as kigala kavodo, excuse me, yagilu al kavodo kigala mimen, or rather, ela kavedo. Rather make reference to the idea that the bull, that the calves themselves, kavedo, are weighed down with excrement. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Va'ata yosifu lachto. We'll say the Gemara over here, quoting from the pasuk in Hosea. Va'ata yosifu lachto. You continue to sin. Va'yasu lahem masecha miksafam. And they make again literally images from their silver. Kitevunam atzavim. Like in the shape of idols. My kisevunam atzav. What does it mean they make it in the shape of idols? Melamed shekol echad ve'echad asad musirasa. Each and every person would make a form of his idol. Umanicha bikiso. And he would keep his idol in his pocket. Bishash ezochra. When he would make reference to his idol. Motzia mitocheko. He would take it out of his pocket. Umechapko umenashko. And he would hug it and he would kiss it. Mai zovche adam agolim. Yishkun Rabbah said, what does it mean? When it says, Zokhi Adam Agolim, men who worship or who sacrifice to the idols or to the Agolim, excuse me, to the calves, will kiss them. Listen to this. This is about, again, by the worship of the calves in Malchus Yisrael. So the Meshar Se'avodos Kochavim, the priests of the Avodah Zarah, Nostin Einei B'ma'ali Mamon. So I'll say, remember again, the priests of the idolatry, what did they want? They wanted the money of the Bali Mammon. So how would they get the money from the Bali Mammon for the Avodah Zarah? So what would happen? Umar, even as Ha'agolim, they would starve the calves. These calves were worshippers for Avodah Zarah. They would starve the calves. Va'osin demus atzabim, umma'amidam bitzad avuseyim. So I'll say, what would happen? The priests for the idolatry would starve the calves. They would paint pictures of the wealthy balabatim, in the troughs of the calves. What happens? Umotzien osan lochutz. And I will say, what happens? Then they would let the calves go free. Kevan shirao osan, rotzin acharein umemash mishin bohen. So I'll say, listen to this chab. It's a good fundraising technique. So I'll say, so what happened? So again, the priests would starve the calves, but they would put pictures of the wealthy balabatim in the troughs. So what would happen? The calves would go into the troughs for what purpose? To eat. But there's nothing there. But what would they see in the troughs? They see the pictures of the balabatim. So what happens? Then when the priest would let the calves go free, who would the calves run to? They would not nuzzle. Is that the right word? Nuzzle, right? They would come up by the feet of the wealthy balabatim. So what happened? So the priest would then say to the wealthy balabatim, oh, you see the Avodah Zarah loves you. Right? The Avodah Zarah loves you. Yavo b'yizbach asmalo. You know, the halacha is that if the Avodah Zarah loves you, you have to sacrifice yourself to the Avodah Zarah. But if you don't want to sacrifice yourself to the Avodah Zarah, a hefty check will do. Right? So an amazing thing. So Amar Rava, Hi Zolchei Adam, Agolam Yishkun, Agolam Yishkun Lizvach, Adami Boile. If that's the case, Rava said, the Pasuk shouldn't read Zolchei Adam, Agolam Yishkun, but rather it should read Agolam Yishkun Lizvach Adam. If the calf kisses you, that shows you have to sacrifice yourself. Ela Amar Rava, rather Rava says what it means is the following. Kala Zoveach Espino Lavodos Kochavim, whoever worshipped his son to idolatry, Amar lo doran gadol hikriv lo. Ultimately, again, they would say to him, you've given a great gift to the idol. Yavo b'yishak lo. The idol kisses you. So warped was their sense of right and wrong that people would get a shkayach if they offered up their child to the Avodah Zarah. Then if you offered up your child to the Avodah Zarah, they would say, oh, the Avodah Zarah kisses you. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Va'an shei babel asu. I think Moses will be recording the pasuk from Malachim. Va'anshei babel asu as sukos vinos. So we'll say, so ultimately, now the Gemara is going to describe just a bunch of different forms of Avodah Zarah that different people worship. So what does it mean when it says that Anshei Baba Asu as Sukos? Sukos, we'll say, what does that refer to? What type of idolatry? Was it a new Tarnagolas? We'll say, so they would go ahead and they would worship the Tarnagolas, the hen. Va'anshei Kus Asu as Narbel. The people of Kus worship Narbel. We'll say, what was that? Umayniyu, Tarnagol, a chicken. V'anshe Chamas asu es Hashima. So Rambam said the people of Chamas, they worship Hashima. Omai nihu barcha karcha, a goat. V'avim asu es nivchan v'es tartok. So Rambam said ultimately again the people, the avim, worship nivchan and tartok. Rambam said what does that refer to? Omai nihu kelev v'chamer. They worship the dog and a donkey. V'hasafruyim sarfim espenehem v'espenoseim ba'esh. La'adar melech va'an melech. So we'll say again, the pasuk over here says that the safrovim, or I should say, the safarvim would go ahead and burn their children, offer them up to adar melech and an melech. What does adar melech and an melech refer to? So the Gemara says, Mainihu ha'pered va'asus. They worship the mule and the horse. So why are the mule and the horse called? So the Gemara says, va'adar melech. I'm sorry. Adar Melech, the Ardule Lamare Latina. The mule, Rabbi says, is called Adar Melech. Why? Because it helps its master by carrying the load. Va'an Melech, why is the horse called An Melech? The Ani Le Lamare Bekarva, because it answers its master in the midst of battle. Because when the master says it's time to flee in the midst of battle, the horse answers the cry. Av Chizkiya Melech Yehuda, Bikesh Aviv La'asos Lokein. Rabbi says, you know, Chizkiya Melech, who was a great tzaddik, had a father who was an exceptional rasha. Remember again, who is Chizkiya HaMelech's father? Achaz. So Chizkiya HaMelech's father wanted to offer him, to sacrifice him to Avodah Zarah. He wanted to burn him alive for Avodah Zarah. How was he saved? Elo shesachto imo salamandura. So apparently again, I will say there is this type of animal called salamandura, which Rashi points out over here, is chaya ketana shiotim etano. Seems to be some type of miraculous animal. But the point over here is that if you smear yourself with salamandra oil, then what? That protects you against the flames. So apparently, again, Chizkiyahu's father wanted to burn him alive for Avodah Zarah. His mother heard about this. He was saying, what did she do? She smeared little Chizkiyahu with salamandra oil, and therefore when his father threw him into the fire, Chizkiyahu Melech was saved from the fires of the Avodah Zarah. Incredible. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, both say it's an incredible Gemara. Yodin hayu Yisrael b'avodas chum she'in b'mamish. Both say, you know, Klal Yisrael, we're smart people. We know that Avodah Zarah is irrelevant. We'll say, hear this? Deep down, the Jew knows that there is absolutely no power to Avodah Zarah. So if we know there's no power to it, then what? Then what? Then why worship it? So the Gemara says, Avodah Avodah Kochavim, Ela Lahatir Lahem Arayis Befarhesya. Right, the Rabbos say, you know why we worship the Avodah Zarah? Worship Avodah Zarah because we want the immorality. Rabbos say, we learned this before. Shav Shunafal Hirsch has a beautiful piece on this where he discusses this by the eagle. He says, you know, why do Jews worship Avodah Zarah? We know, well, you know, one could tell that the nations of the world, maybe they don't know. Klal Yisrael, we know what's right, we know what's wrong. So why do we worship Avodah Zarah? So Rav Hirsch says something amazing. Rav Hirsch says, you know what the distinction between Avodah Zarah and Avodah Hashem is? Avodah Zarah means you make God in your image. Avodah Hashem means I make myself in God's image. You know, what's the allure of Avodah Zarah? What's the other Avodah saying? See, the way Avodah Zarah starts is like this. Step one in Avodah Zarah is, step one, determine what you want to do. That's the first step. What is it that you want to do? That's step number one. Step number two is create a framework of theology around that. That's called Avodah Zarah. Which, by the way, just as an aside, I'll spend 1 minute on this. Teaches you two things. People deep down want to be tzaddikim. Nobody wants to be a rasha. Nobody wants to be a rasha. But I want to do something that's usur. I want to do something that's usur. So how do I still remain a tzaddik, but yet do what I want that's really usur? And the answer is, just create your own system. Right? Just create your own framework. This way, you can do what you want, and you could still be a tzaddik because you're living in the framework that you created for yourself. Which Rabbi said is such an incredibly important mussar. You know, sometimes in life, we walk around with hashkafas, right? Everybody's got hashkafas. This is my hashkafa. My hashkafa says I can do this, I can do that. Rabbi says sometimes it's important to do a self-check and to ask yourself one simple question. By the way, Where did those hashkafas come from? Where did you get this from? You see this all the time. People pledge allegiance to hashkafas. Where did you get this from? Where did you get this from? Have we say sometimes when we're honest with ourselves, we realize that some of the quote unquote hashkafas that we have, they're not real hashkafas. They're things I made up to justify things I want to do. We have a name for that. You know what we call that? We call that avodah zarah, right? Avodah zarah is any time you create systems to justify personal behaviors that are not in line or not in consonance with the Ratzon HaBorei, that's called Avodah Zarah. So says the Emor, says Rabbi Yehuda, says the name of Rab, Klal Yisrael, we're good, we're tzaddikim, we know what's right, we know what's wrong, but how could it be that if we know what's right, we know what's wrong, that we engage in Avodah Zarah? Because sometimes in life, this stuff I want to do, in this case again, it's Arias. In this case again, I want to be able to engage in the immorality that I desire. But I don't want to be a Rasha. So what do? I create new Ashkafas, I create new isms, I create new frameworks in order to be able to justify what it is that I want to do. Says the Rebbe, we'll say it's an incredible Yisod. Teaches you, by the way, about the greatness of the Jew. Right, the Jew never wants to live on the wrong side of the law. It's just that if I want to do something badly enough, I'm just going to create a new law. Right, I'm going to create a new framework because I want to be a tzaddik. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the reason why this is very important is because, and we'll spend 1 minute on this, because we'll do two more lines. Because I will say, what Rav is saying is, we don't really believe in Avodah Zarah. We don't really believe in it. We just do it because it gives us the license to do what we want. So is that true, Master Mesharshia? Kizachar b'nei mizibchosam. I will say, the Pasuk says, Kizkar b'nei mizibchosam. So we'll say, you see over here, so the Pasuk says, Kiskar b'nei mizichosam, that literally, again, we're willing to offer up our children for the Avodah Zarah. So how can you say that we don't believe in Avodah Zarah? They both say, how could we, you want to say that we only worship Avodah Zarah because it allowed a riot. It's not true. We're willing to offer up our children for Avodah Zarah. So obviously, there was a connection to Avodah Zarah. Basar da avikube. Oh, Bosa, listen to this. That was after we became connected. In other words, Bosa, the way when it started, we weren't really connected. We didn't really believe in Avodah Zarah. We gave it lip service. Why? Because it gave us the license to do what we wanted. But here's the amazing part, Bosa. You know, after enough time of pledging allegiance to a fictional reality, so the fictional reality becomes what? Becomes your actual reality, to the point that over time we were even willing to worship our children to it. Well, so look at this next piece. We're going to end with this. Tashma. Literally, I will place your corpses on the bodies of your avodah zarah. We'll say, get ready for this, Maisa. Amar. So we'll say it appears that this must have been during the times of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So what happens? Yerushalayim is in a state of siege, and ultimately, again, there's rampant starvation. Now remember, again, the first Beis HaMikdash is destroyed because of idolatry, of Avodah Zarah. So we'll say, ultimately, Eliyahu HaNavi is walking amongst the malnourished people. We'll say, listen to this moving story. He found a child, Rabbi Hussain. Tafuach means he was bloated. The child was bloated from malnutrition. And he was lying in a garbage heap. Amar lo, ne'eza mishpacha ato. Elio said to the boy, what family are you from? Amar lo, mishpacha plonis ani. The child said, I'm from so-and-so mishpacha. Amar lo, klum nishtayim me'osa mishpacha. Is there anyone left from this mishpacha? Amar lo lav chutz mimeni. The child said, I am the last remaining member of this mishpacha. So the Rebbe said, listen to this conversation. Amar lo, im ani melamdecha davar shata chayba, ata lamed. Eliyahu says, tell me, child, if I teach you something which will give you life, are you willing to learn it? Amar lo hein. The child said, of course, I want to live. Rebbe, teach me whatever you need to teach me for me to learn. Amar lo, bechol yom. Amar lo, emar bechol yom, shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Elio says to the little boy, every single day, say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and if you say this, you will live. Amar lo, Abba, get ready for this. The child says, to Eliyahu HaNavi, Amar lo, Has, be quiet. The child stops Eliyahu HaNavi from speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shola Haskir B'Shem Hashem. The child stopped Eliyahu HaNavi from speaking about the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo Lindo Aviv V'Imo. Because ultimately, again, this child's parents, never spoke to him about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, as soon as the child begins to hear the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he silences Eliyahu HaNavi. That's not our God. That's not our God. We don't daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We daven to Avodah Zarah. Miyad, what does the child do? Miyad hotzir asa mecheiko. The child had an Avodah Zarah, a little idol with him. He took out his little idol from his, by his chest. Umechapko, umenashko, he kissed it. He hugged it, he kissed it. So he began to kiss the idol, hug the idol, literally until his stomach exploded. He died from malnutrition. And ultimately, again, so the idol fell to the ground, and the child fell on top of the idol. I will literally place your corpses on top of the corpses of your idolatry. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Klal Yisrael did believe in Avodah Zarah, to which the Gemara again says, Basar da'avi gube, inachinami. We'll say, in the beginning, we didn't believe it. We didn't believe it. We just served it because, again, it allowed us to do what we wanted to do. But after enough time of serving it, Rabbi, after enough time of pledging allegiance to the fictional reality, became the actual reality. We'll say, there's a number of incredible lessons learned from this Gemara. First of all, again, how careful we have to be with the chinuch of our children. I would say, you know, Klal Gadol is, our children remember very little of what we say and remember a lot more of what we do. We have to model the right chinuch for our children. Here is a child dying. If Yohana becomes a child, I'm going to give you life. Do you want life? And the child says, sure, I'll take life. But in that moment, Yohana gives him life. He cannot listen to the lesson. You want to hear the Musar? He chooses the tutelage or the chinuch of his parents over the chinuch of Eliyahu HaNavi. Which I will say, it shows you the chinuch, the power of chinuch between a parent and a child. Our children will hold dear the lessons we give them until their dying breath. That's why we have to be so careful ultimately again about the lessons we give them. I will say that's lesson number one. The power of the chinuch we give to our children. We often think that our children ignore us. We often think that what I say to my kids goes in one ear and out the other. So the truth is, generally what you say to them does go in one ear and out the other. But I will say, what we show them, what we model for them, the way we live ultimately creates lasting impressions that will follow them through. I can't tell you how important this is. You know, I will say, just as a simple level, you know, sometimes in a home, there's stress. Sometimes there's stress. How you deal with stress in front of your children creates lasting impressions. If you lose it with your wife in front of your kids when there's a stressful situation, we'll say, that leaves an indelible impression upon your children. If when a stressful situation, you come and you lash out, or you use a word that you shouldn't use, or you act in a way that's just irrational, that leaves impressions. Everything we do within our homes, everything we do within our lives, leaves a lasting chinuch impression upon our children. That's message number one, about the fact that even they might not listen to what we say, but they absolutely absorb every single little bit of the way we act. Lesson number two, Rabbi Osai, is another incredible yisod, which is how sometimes when a person becomes so attached to a hashkafas hachayim that is wrong, that even when it's clear that it's wrong, sometimes we have difficulty letting go of it. This child is mamish laying there in the garbage pile, dying. Clearly, life has not worked out well. Eliyahu HaNavi is giving this child an opportunity at redemption. And yet, what's Rabbi Osai? The child says, effectively, no thank you. Rabbi Osai, we look at this and we say to ourselves, craziness. It's craziness, except we do the same things so often. Rabbi Osai, sometimes we become so vested in lifestyles and so vested in life decisions that we know deep down are really incorrect. But yet, again, we're so connected to it that even when it's clear that it's not correct, we can't break apart from it. We can't break it from it. I'm laying in the garbage heap, withering away. I know that what I'm doing, I know that how I'm living, I know that the modes of behavior, I know that the lifestyle I'm living, I know that there are fundamental flaws in it. I'm sitting here in the garbage heap, withering away throughout life. Yet, again, I even know Eliyahu HaNavi comes. He whispers in my ear, do you want salvation? It's very simple. Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokim HaShem Echad. That's the way ultimately to success in life. And I will say, but sometimes we're so vested that we can't bring ourselves to tear away from the things that bring us down. We can't repeat the mistake of this child. We can't repeat the mistake of lying there in the garbage heap and falling upon the idols. Eliyahu HaNavi, the Ribbono Shel Olam, whispers in our ear each and every day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If we find a way to break away from the things that pull us down and attach ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Gula is within reach. We just have to listen to that little voice that we hear. If you just listen closely enough, you hear it in your ears, you hear it in your heart, you hear it in your soul. Halavai, we should be zochet to learn from the mistakes of our ancestors. We should listen to that voice, tear ourselves away from the things that threaten to bring us down, and ultimately live a life of Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the step of the year.